It's great to be a nerd, it's great to be a nerd. The only light we ever see is from our monitor. We argue about comic books and internet connections. The biggest highlight of the year is the Star Trek convention.
Our tour wasn't big enough to sign up any stars, but we much better Richard, who was phased by a Borg.
Ben,
he knew Mr. Sulu.
What?
It's great to be a nerd, it's great to be a nerd.
Well, top of the morning to y'all, and welcome to Nerdcast episode number 16. Have I got it right today, Arthur?
Yes, you do.
All right. Last time he had to do a text over because he was too afraid to interrupt me during the introduction.
Honestly, I didn't even notice.
So anyway, we are at episode 16, and it's a very exciting week because we are only 7 hours away from Nerdfest starting. Nerdfest is an event that we hold once a year. Somewhere in the world, usually in North America somewhere, and this year it's not too far from where I live, which is just in London, but the Nerdfest is at Windsor, Ontario, Canada, in conjunction with the Eastern Michigan team, which is in Port Huron. And so we have an exciting event tomorrow. If you're anywhere in the U.S. close to Port Huron, come on in and join us in the Fill the Beetle event. We actually have a number of news stations that have picked up the story in the last 24 hours, as well as in Windsor. So it's going to be an exciting event. We're going to have more than 40 families get together and just celebrate and get together over the weekend for nerdy things, including the amazing Nerd Race, including community events, including family dinners and barbecues and so forth. So it should be a lot of fun. That's this week. So what we have here, I was supposed to have this in the background here. Today on Nerdcast episode 16, we have Andy Laren. Welcome back, Andy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Andy does an actual real radio show. Like, you know, you remember in the previous generation, there was radio going over airwaves that did not use the internet. He's still involved in that old technology. But we're glad to have Andy. Dennis is from West Virginia. He is our security guru. He writes our security corner, and he also does a number of our blogs. Patrick from Australia and Chris Allen from the UK. Good to have all of you guys.
Hi, everyone.
G'day here.
We usually start our Nerdcast off like we do at Nerds on Site meetings with good news. And the reason we start off with good news is very simple. All the brown smelly stuff, it's very, very easy for us to find that stuff and share it. And sometimes we do with those close to us. But it sometimes takes a little bit of an effort to find the good news items. But then what we find is that actually inspires us to more productive ways of thinking. And so that's why we're very much on purpose at starting meetings in Nerdcast with good news. And I'm going to jump right off the top here and let you guys know I'm really, really excited to work with Daryl Siemens. Arthur, make a note. We got to have him on this show. What in the world are we thinking? He's got to be on the show. Daryl is just a machine. Comes from a Mennonite background, from Winnipeg originally, came to London to study, got married and stayed here, and he now has two children. Daryl's just a fantastic guy. When he sets a goal, he achieves it every single time, and he just doesn't let anything get in the way. And we have a University of Nerdology course that he and I and Charlie are putting together. And it'll launch about the week after Nerdfest, called Pay Yourself First, which is a trademark. So we are going to give the author full credit there of the book, but it's going to be the nature of making sure that you're focused on making your own check payment the first that you write. And looking very much forward to doing that. So that's my good news. We'll just go down the list here on my Skype conference call. Dennis from West Virginia, you're next. Good to have you.
Well, good day. Yes, and you know, I am really looking forward to Nerdfest, and you know, I guess my good news is I was thinking a little bit this morning about why I'm looking forward to Nerdfest more than I'm looking forward to sometimes to other events with people. And you know, part of it is I realize that you know, if you have family and you have people that you work with, and in those settings, you know, there's always that person or those people that you know has got this bad attitude or you just can't quite, you know, you're not looking forward to spending time with. But, you know, I got to say, when I come to Nerdfest and hang out with all the people at Nerds on Site, it is probably the most amazing group of people that I've ever been associated with. I guess part of that's because it's a self-selecting group. but I've yet to meet anybody that doesn't have a positive attitude and just, you know, a tremendous amount of skill and expertise. And that's part of what makes it a pleasure to go to NerdFest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I see Tim here online in the chat is regretting that he can't make it this year. You're right, Tim. You'll be missing something good. However, Arthur, you should have jumped in here. Those of you that want to be catching part of that, just make sure you, hey, there we go. Thanks, Arthur. Jump on nerdsonsite.tv. The schedule is there by clicking on the show schedule on the top right of nerdsonsite.tv so that you guys can actually join the sessions that will be broadcast live using this exact same Bitgravity system that we're on now. So jump in for those that you can jump in live on, and if you can't catch them live, we'll also archive them for later viewing. And I'm definitely glad that Dennis is coming in spite of the a bit of a drive up from West Virginia. Glad to have you. Patrick Brown from Southern Australia. Glad to have you, Patrick.
G'day, everyone. My good news is, again, the new nerd we've got here in Adelaide. We've now got two nerds. His car got branded. We are now parading around. We're meeting for breakfast and lunch, doing training. He just got his brand pack now, so he's terribly excited. He's got his first nerd shirt and his business cards, and we're just feeding off each other. It's fantastic. You know, we're getting out gold calling. You know, it's just great. And a couple of other big potential clients from a couple of weeks ago, all the steps bringing those on board seem to be coming together nicely. So it's just great. You know, this new market here in Adelaide that's been open, I guess, to Nerds on Site for about the last 6 months or so, me being the first guy in, now our team is growing, and Simon's business will grow and my business will grow, and it's just fantastic. And the other really great thing that happened was a client said to me, I need a huge website. I am a real estate guy. I want to break away from my franchise. I want my own website with house listings and rental listings and all that sort of thing. And I just said, you know, it's not my field, but we have an excellent nerd here in Australia, Gavin, who is a website guru, and I passed the job straight on to him. And you know, it's brilliant. It Nerds on Site, great. That's my good news.
Thanks, Patrick. And it's just goes so much in line with Rob last week, and he was just expressing his number one reason when he joined the team. And Rob Wolf is normally on the show, and he couldn't make it today, but he's just a brilliant guy, a pod leader, one of the pod leaders for Australia, and he said their number one reason he joined is for that reason, for backup nerds. He wanted to be able to go on vacation when he needed to go away, and he's done a number of trips now across the country to Adelaide, even to Sydney and Newcastle and Brisbane by car. Thanks. In fact, Arthur, you should talk about that story sometime. There, you got some crazy things that happened on that trip. Chris Allen, UK, glad to have you here as well.
Hi, David. Hi, everyone. Yeah, a couple of good bits of news. I was speaking with Brad Rossett. I've been speaking to him quite a bit lately, and he's been telling me all about Meraki, which I think I may have mentioned before. I've been convinced to get two units. One's going to be a demo unit for me to try out. Excellent. And show to prospective clients, and the other one for a family member who has a fairly large house and just wants to stretch it, his wireless out that bit further. So that would be definitely very interesting to try out. Then along with this, I was speaking to Brad the other day, and he was telling us about an event he's just used Meraki at, and it was a sporting event where he said there was a lot of elderly people, really. I think he said the oldest person there was 92 doing the javelin, which is quite impressive. Wow. It sort of got me thinking about the things that Charlie said about how we're going to be living to, I think, 130.
Yep.
We need to start planning for that. So there's that. Yep. And then I also thought about, fairly recently got my nan onto the internet. She got a laptop and she's been using Skype. And nice. Now we were talking about earlier how Skype does so much in the background that that's it right. makes it possible for anybody to use, as long as they've got, and this is the key thing that stood out to me, enthusiasm, they can now manage to use a lot of technology, which I think is really great. And there was something else that they were talking on the radio about the other day, is what do we do to get through the recession? And one guy on there said he thought the key thing was enthusiasm, that you can be optimistic, but if you stay enthusiastic, you can keep trying new things and figuring out new ways to get around problems. And that just really stood out to me.
Good bunch of good news, Chris. That's great. We could spend all day just on those items, because you mentioned so many things that are there. So absolutely true. I know Skype, for me, my dad unfortunately passed away last year. But before that happened, he became a huge Skype fan, and he would go to his dialysis at the hospital, take his MacBook, and what would he do? He'd be calling his children around the world on Skype video. And he was known as, oh, here comes the dialysis patient. Here comes the Skype patient. That's what he was known as. So anyway, that's great. Good stuff, Chris. Arthur, our producer, you guys sometimes in the background don't appreciate all the things that Arthur does behind the scenes to make this work, but I just want to express public appreciation for his hard work to make all this happen so smoothly and each time being better. Arthur, good to have you.
Hey, good to be here, fellows. Yeah, you know what? I think I just might say my good news along with all the other Nerdfest good news. We have some cool stuff going on with Nerdfest. And well, in fact, we're actually bringing a few people in through Skype. We have an Apple rep, we have a leasing rep who are going to be in at Nerdfest remotely over Skype. And so it's going to be awesome. Also, we're streaming a few of the events over nerdsinsight.tv as well. So some of the U of N classes, they're only going to be for nerds, but it's probably mostly nerds watching this anyway. So yeah, there'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be awesome.
You bet. You bet. Dog, whoever that is in the chat, and Tim, we're going to share your good news in a second as well. On the air here, but Andy's last but not least, the radio voice. Did we catch you already?
Nope, not yet.
No, I didn't think so. Okay.
Actually, I just wanted to echo the words that Chris was saying, or sorry, it wasn't Chris, that Patrick was saying about joining Nerds on Site because of the team, the full broad team atmosphere there. That was the reason that I joined. I had a company before joining Nerds on Site, and I tried employees and I tried other subcontractors, ran into many difficulties with both. But the fact that we're all under one brand name, all working for the same goal, really was the reason that I joined. And to be honest, I almost didn't join because it sounded too good to be true. Everything that I was being told, it really did. Yeah. It was my wife that said, you know, let's take a chance and see what happens with this. And you know, 5 years in now, and you know, never look back, and it's been awesome. It's been a, you know, phenomenal ride. 5 years just gone by like that. So my good news for this week was
I thought really that was the good news.
Well, that was the good news for sure.
You can share another one. That's fine.
Been working on a couple of servers the last week or so, and I just tried the new version of ESXi version 4. And wow, some really nice things that you can do in there, and some really nice rollouts, things that make our job much easier, and will really protect the client much better. So really enjoying working with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know we have a number of nerds that are huge ESXi fans of VMware, and we have a professor in the University of Nerdology, Scott from Cincinnati, Ohio, just a brilliant guy. He did one of the U of N sessions at last year's Nerdfest. I don't know if he's doing one this year as well. He might, if Blair's not in the chat, so we can't verify with him in real time. But that's I would highly recommend that you check it out if you haven't yet. Just play with it and see what cool things you can do with that. A couple of chat good news there from Dog. Just based on his news, I imagine it must be John Horncastle. My good news is that there's only one day left in July, and I'm still ahead of Daryl Siemens. If it is John, he's the guy who has a very simple target. He just always wants to be $1 ahead of Daryl Siemens. Gotta love it. See, it reminds me of how I order food at a restaurant. I don't look at the menu. If there's someone that in there that I, you know, like if I'm with Charlie, if I'm with Arthur, whatever they pick, I'll take the same thing, right? Plus one. Oh, that's great. Good stuff, John. And we have Tim Frayne. What recession, he says. My good news is I've reached bonus for the first time this month. Awesome, Tim. Way to go. Excellent. Excellent. And Tim, your belief system is now stretched, and I'm confident that you'll never go without reaching the bonus, but you'll just end up reaching new bonus levels all the time. So there you go. Just be careful how loudly you say what you do, because Dog here might just change his target to be $1 ahead of you each month, Tim. All right, we have a great Nerdcast planned for today. And one of the things that we like to cover off each week is a book, a recommended book, a recommended reading. And this was a recommendation from Patrick, who's very much focused on, you know, developing the stuff between the ears, which is the primary reason why we're held back from doing well in business, right, is our belief systems. And one of the ways that our belief system can be augmented dramatically is through reading, and reading and feeding the mind with the right kind of stuff. And talk to us about Think and Grow Rich, Patrick.
Yeah, well, I had read this book, or I'd seen it in passing many, many years ago, and didn't pick it up. When I joined Nerds on Site, it was part of the recommended reading. I believe I got a copy from Nerds on Site, either that or I went and just picked up one because it was on the recommended list. And I purchased the updated current version because it was, I can't remember when it was written, in the 30s, was that right? 1930s? 40s?
Yeah, it says it was published in 1937 during the Great Depression.
That's right. And yep. The introduction about the author and his mentor and all that sort of thing, you know, is something to go into another time. But, you know, the meat and potatoes of this book is, you know, absolutely stunning. They, you know, just about, you know, a new way of thinking, a new way of programming your mind, you know, getting that positive attitude and just thinking about your goals, writing down your goals, programming yourself to say, you know, these things are achievable. You know, and it's not just about, you know, writing down a monetary goal. You know, they're life goals. They're, you know, what is going to satisfy you? What is going to make you happy? And going ahead with these things. And it was one of the first things I've seen in a long time that, yeah, really changed my thought process, really changed what was going on between my ears. Yeah. I mean, many years ago when I learnt a second language, that blew my mind, learning a second language, that thoughts are processed in a different way, in a different language. I'd only ever spoken one language, so I didn't realise that you could construct your thoughts in a different way. Reading this book, it was very similar to me. It blew my mind in the same way. And so it's a classic. It a lot of life coaches, a lot of modern folk in this area of self-development have drawn on this book. I have it in paperback. I have it in I have the audio book, which I listen to when I drive around. And yeah, and just in our CEO's training the other week, a session he did, he was talking about writing down goals, get away from the keyboard, physically get a pen and paper. It makes a big difference. So yeah, highly recommended. It's one of the classics, and it is 100% worth your time. I don't know if anyone else wants to quickly speak to it, what if they've read it, what it's done for them.
Well, I can tell you it's part of the brand pack. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, no nerd has an endorsed by nerds. And it's really helped me to surround myself with positive people and positive thinkers, and you know, just that simple change of saying I'm not going to accept negativity. I'm going to surround myself with these positive people, and certainly Nerds on Site feeds that relationship for me, so it's fantastic.
You got it, Patrick. So those of you who are thinking about becoming nerds, or who are already nerds and really want to improve the belief system and expand the what you think you're capable of, this is certainly an excellent book. And what it'll have you do every morning and every night will certainly has the capacity to change your life entirely. As do many books. And unfortunately, you know, nowadays we've got books available in so many different formats that the net result is that we don't read enough. Instead of just focusing on a book and finishing it, we've just, you know, reading all these micro stories and headlines and don't have enough focus. We are creating our own ADD problem, I think, in life. So if I can make a recommendation, is grab the book and read it. It's not one of the books that you read overnight. It takes time. You'll see as you start reading it why it takes time to read this one.
Yeah, and like the book that we talked about last week, which was How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
The title is a little bit misleading because it isn't really about growing rich. I think the title is almost unfortunate because it's about a lot more than money, and that's really a small part of what we're talking about here.
Of all the riches, the money one is the last, right? So definitely good point. I'm glad you brought that up very much, for sure. Because I think a lot of the times people look upon those with money as though they've somehow obtained it dishonestly, when the truth is that people in most cases in developed nations have earned it rightfully by doing the right things. And Zig Ziglar, I'll never forget his line, you help enough other people get what they want, and that's how you get what you want. And it's just such a simple fundamental principle. So anyway, we have lots of stories. There's no way we can cover them all today. So we're just going to go until we run out of time and wrap this up at about the hour's point. But we wanted to just talk about, James, you didn't know this, but we're going to feature Nerds back up real quick and talk about how the Mac client, again, is at final release. So anybody who's on a Mac can now get the version 1.0 Nerds Backup client for Mac OS. Works in Tiger and Leopard. And the beautiful thing is, just like the Windows version, it's a set it and forget it kind of setup. So once you've configured it, it'll just automatically do online backup in real time. The moment a file is changed, it's very, very, very small footprint, operates in the background, and just does its magic. And then you don't have to worry about where your stuff is at. It's great for backing up all your documents, so that every time you make a change, boom, it's backed up. It even works with File Vault. If you have File Vault enabled, it only runs while you're logged in, of course, because that's the only time it has access to the files, and then it does a backup. So that's our feature for this week. Let's get to the first story here. Dare to demand attention. Ban that BlackBerry or iPhone or gadget from meetings. I think this was submitted by, was it you, Dennis?
Not this one.
No. Who submitted this?
Me, Patrick.
Oh, sorry, Patrick. Talk to us about this one.
That's okay. Well, I mean, just again, a business focus. We do a lot of technical stuff, but this one really jumped out at me because I'm seeing it more and more. We're running our own business. We are professional business men and women, professional nerds. And I have seen this in corporate environments and in small business environments more and more and more. And I think it's a wake-up call to us. Basically, the article is saying that, but the very short version is that people are leaving their smart devices on in meetings, you know, small business meetings, big meetings, you know, in the boardroom and stuff. And they're focused on that instead of saying, oh, excuse me, I should have turned that off, you know. I mean, you can make a mistake and not put it on mute or silent and just turning it off and putting it away. They're taking their messages. They're responding to their emails and SMSs. They're even answering their phone. And it's the bottom line of that is it's just plain rude. And
that's right. You'll notice this, Patrick, and the rest of you, that mature business professionals that are in today's business world that have great success, maybe involved in a number of businesses where we're wearing many hats. Those that are successful, when they're with you, they're with you. And when they're with you in person, that personal presence takes precedence over anything else that's going on in their life. So,
absolutely.
Oh man, my son obviously played with my ringtones on my iPhone and then switched this on again. I can always tell when all of a sudden there's a new ringtone coming from my iPhone. Arthur was with me last night. We were working late in deploying a VoIP system, and I had my, this was at my church, and it was my 3-year-old that was with me. And so the iPhone and some of the iPhone apps are actually designed for kids. They're great for emergency babysitting. I don't recommend it, and my kids don't get a whole lot. Hello, Charlie. Look at that. Oh, my. Timing couldn't be any more perfect.
Why? What are you talking about?
This camera here is doing the recording for the post, and that camera there is live on nerdsonsite.tv.
Wow.
So
hi, Charlie.
This is the microphone. So here. So
hello, Charlie. Impressive.
No.
Oh wait, you're not supposed to share earphones, right?
Why? Oh yeah, because I'm concerned about all the disease in your ears. So who are we talking to today?
Well, we have online. We have Dennis from West Virginia.
Hey, Dennis.
We have Patrick.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, bud.
We've got
Chris. Hey, Charlie.
Chris from the
UK.
Hi,
Charlie.
In the UK.
And we got Arthur.
Arthur, what? Arthur Wooby? Wooby? And there's the big radio personality,
that's
Andy
right.
Larry.
Yeah.
Hey there, Charlie.
Oh, look, we've got someone chatting saying hello as well.
Oh, we got someone chatting.
And then chat, we got Paul.
Hey, Paul.
We got Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Tim Frayne.
Hey, boys, how are you? My gosh. So what do you guys just get together and kibitz once
that's,
a week?
That's exactly what we do. You'd be impressed. We cover a book each week. So we did Think and Grow Rich this week. We do a business feature. So we did Nerds Back Up.
Okay, gentlemen, if you did Think and Grow Rich this week, tell me, what's the most challenging chapter to comprehend, to get your head around, and then to apply? Uh-huh. Who's got another idea? In the history of that publication, even in the publication of the original 13-volume Laws of Success by Napoleon Hill, which is Think and Grow Rich source, that's where the publisher distilled all of Napoleon's works into that little book, Think and Grow Rich. But it is the 13 volumes, Laws of Success, where it all comes from. The most challenging of all in the history of that publication has been the mystery of sex transmutation. How do I understand this power in my life? And how do I then harness, capture, and direct into productive results? So into other arenas for the sake of productive results. How come you got two little dots there beside your camera and I only have one? You always have more stuff than me.
Two dots? Where do you only have one?
I see this little dot here.
Oh, that's the microphone. Doesn't yours have the microphone there too?
I don't think so.
Arthur, can maybe explain that one. Does a 17-inch have a microphone beside the EyeSight camera?
This is a perfect example of how people get confused when the topic of sex comes up. They all start going down all these other little roads, right? It's a powerful force in the lives of all of us, every human on Earth. Powerful force.
Yeah.
Getting to the place where you can understand it, investigate closely the elements of consequence on that particular front with you, and then begin to channel those efforts and energies. That's the sick puppy element. You just can't help yourself. You just got to go for it. You just know nothing will get in your way. Absolutely nothing will get in your way. You become more creative. I guess, you become more creative. In pursuit of sexual conquest, you become more creative. That's a known fact, a well-known psychological fact. You will come up with ways. You will invent on the fly. You are masters on this front. The challenge is addressing other elements in your life that are as important, if not more so, and beginning to channel the same type of energy that's creative, that's innovative, and that's disciplined, dogged, and relentless in pursuit of those objectives. That's the challenge. So reread that chapter every now and then. It's not a bad one. Okay, I got a meeting going on. I should probably get back to
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Charlie. Here we go. Now, this tops the previous Nerdcast. Now that
well, dose of Charlie there.
Yeah, absolutely. We could use that every once in a while.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm sure just yesterday, I think I successfully explained to him how we do this Nerdcast recording and how we're able to get the good quality video presence of the remote participants in post edit. And he was just really, really impressed. So we just got to do more of that, and include him. He'd definitely be open to that. We have a huge security story from this week, and that was this one, Arthur, that you told me about verbally last night. I think we should talk about. Do you want to talk about this one? Because you probably know it in more detail than any of us. The SMS hack that could leave every iPhone vulnerable.
Yeah, definitely. Well, basically, all it involves is sending a single character or a series of messages to an iPhone, and then some malicious code. You can take over a phone, use the camera, send messages. So it could be like something that spreads. So in a short period of time, you could actually take over every single iPhone in the world, right? And so it's quite major. And so there's still no fix for it. I'm not sure. I know that there's just a new 3.1 beta that got released yesterday. So I'm not sure if it's fixed in there. But it's quite major. And so there's still no fix. And in fact, Google's Android is vulnerable to one of the issues as well. And also Windows Mobile can be controlled through a burst of text messages. So it's interesting how many phones are vulnerable to these security vulnerabilities.
Well, I guess they're complete operating systems now. Yeah. So same dangers.
Yep. And they're connected, right? And I don't know is there a way that you can block SMS?
No, on the iPhone, you cannot turn off SMS.
You cannot turn off SMS?
No.
That's what I thought. Can you turn it off on the BlackBerry?
Only with the firewall. In the BlackBerry, you can enable SMS firewall.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting to know that you can actually turn it off with the firewall. I didn't know that.
But then there's a feature in the firewall where you can actually say other than those that are in my address book. So that way you can still receive messages from those that you have in your address book, but it'll filter out everything else.
Oh, wow.
So is that a new killer app for the iPhone, a firewall?
Yeah, I don't know. That would be interesting if that could become. You would think that something like a firewall as an iPhone app would be something that would be so deeply involving the core of the OS that would be difficult to achieve. But yeah, block incoming messages via SMS, MMS, PIN, BlackBerry Internet Service, or enterprise email. Don't know how well this will show up on the camera, but that's the interface on the BlackBerry firewall setting that Andy just talked about. And I have mine all open. But I'm gonna do that now. I'm gonna block SMS and accept messages from contacts. So that the contacts that I have, they can send me SMS, but it'll block anybody else. So I know BlackBerry's not mentioned in this article anyway, but I'm just going to take that proactive step. Anybody else on a BlackBerry, you may as well take the same step. So, Arthur, let's make sure we do this to Charlie's and John and Blair's as well right after this call. That's frightening.
Yeah, I did some research once for somebody on blocking SMS messages, basically somebody that was harassing. And
wow.
Even the carriers cannot stop it. They can shut SMS off.
Wow.
Rogers has a new package. It's called Call Manager, where you can actually it's meant for parents for their kids, where you can block phone calls coming in certain times of the day other than from certain numbers. So if they're at school, they can not receive or send. They cannot make calls unless it's to the parents, let's say. And they can do it for SMS outbound, but they cannot block inbound SMS. It's a huge flaw in the technology. And it's something that I cannot figure out why they never fix that problem. I mean, even with email, you can put filters on, but with SMS, apparently it's not able to do that. And I was asking
Dinah, the person at Rogers. This is huge, because this is worldwide.
I was asking the person at Rogers. I said, you know, what happens when it's a case of somebody harassing somebody else? And they said, well, the police can get involved and SMS can be shut down completely, but then you don't get any SMS. So basically, whoever's doing the harassing wins.
Wow. That's unbelievable to me.
Big problem.
Oh, yeah. Man. Why wasn't this on the radar much sooner than this? I mean, SMS, it's not like it's new.
Actually, it was something that I wanted to talk to our development team about, how difficult that sort of an app would be to develop for both the BlackBerry and the iPhone, so that you could filter these sorts of things. Set all kinds of different filters. If you get an SMS from this person, reply back with such and such until, you know, if you're in a movie, you could set these sorts of things up.
Yeah, wouldn't that be neat?
Paul right. said in the chat room, can you block the number?
Yeah, just like with Google Voice or a lot of the VoIP providers now, you can basically have a customized greeting based on who's calling you. Same kind of idea, right?
Exactly. But again, for SMS, it's not available at this time.
Okay, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about SMS and security around SMS for a long, long time. And it wouldn't surprise me if in the next 24 hours, Apple's going to release something for the iPhone. Because if that makes them this vulnerable, that there couldn't be anything more important right now than to get that patched. And
this is huge.
You know, we should definitely issue a press release today. We will about this particular concern and the steps that you can take on your BlackBerry firewall. And we can do this in the form of a screencast. Okay, let's do that actually. Arthur, right after this, let's do that. Let's have a quick screencast on how you can enable the firewall on the BlackBerry to block SMS from people that are not on your contact list. Because it should be only about a 30-second nerdcast, right?
Yeah, and the nice thing, you can never, ever see those again. It'll just block them. It won't store them anywhere. The nice thing, though, is that it does tell you how many it's blocked.
Yes.
So it'll say, I've blocked, 10 messages. Of course, you have no idea where they're from, but, it does let you know.
Right, right. Arthur?
Hey, David.
Yep, go ahead, Patrick.
Yep. I'm not entirely sure whether it's whether it's in the App Store, the Apple Store, or if it's for a jailbroken phone. But I remember an application called iBlacklist that does block SMSs and phone calls from particular people in your iPhone. But yeah, I don't know if it's an official app or for a jailbroken phone. It's called iBlacklist.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing a search on Blacklist right now to see what it comes up with. Blacklist, just to see if we can find something real quick that might apply this. And I'm sure this is going to be something that will be, by the time we publish this Nerdcast, we'll end up already having updates to it. So check the blog.nerdsonsite.com. For updates on this particular issue. We'll make sure that this is a topic that we cover off there. And by the way, I think I forgot at the top of the show, nerdcast@nerdsonsite.com is our email address for feedback on this particular podcast, Nerdcast, as well as to ask for areas to be covered. Fixed, there's a blacklist application, creates a contact name blacklisted number, full of thousands of numbers belonging to U.S. telemarketer scammers and prank callers. Yeah, but that's not what we want. So I don't see anything off the top. It give me a good amount of search result. There's one called My Blacklist. None of these are free. It's a fun and unique way to view and record relationships. No, that's not what we're looking for. So we'll have to do some more research.
One in the chat there.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, thanks, guys. This is the value of the chat, right? So we've got Paul, who's just given us this link. Let me just pop it up here. Okay, there we go. iBlacklist.com.br. Okay, so that's that looks like a Brazilian one. For some reason, when I clicked on the link in the chat, it didn't bring this up automatically. iBlacklist for the iPhone. There we go. Cool. Best call blocker and SMS selector available for the iPhone. See, what I imagine, though, is if you don't do it at the firewall level, then even if you blacklist it, it has to come into the device before the app can capture it and put it away, right? So my fear is that something like this might not be sufficient for security. So we'll have to do some further research on this, okay? So
well, also, the people you're most concerned about aren't in your call list in your contact list anyway.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So this is for someone who's annoying you. You know, maybe a broken relationship and you don't want them to annoy you anymore. This might work. But you want to be able to do the other thing. You want to have a whitelist system, not a blacklist system. So if there is such a thing as an iWhitelist, that's what we would really want. I mean, that's effectively what the BlackBerry firewall does, right? It's saying, right. Okay, it I'm whitelisting my contacts. Mm-hmm. Everybody else don't accept SMSs from. Oh, man. dude, this is going to cause a problem with possibly with some of the SMSs that we depend for system alerts. We got to think about this some more. Man, there goes my day. Thanks, Arthur.
No worries.
On the data recovery scams, I think you sent this one in, Chris, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about this real quick? This is kind of, there's a real good story to this.
Yeah, it's hard drives are one of the most common things to fail, I think, in PCs, and really one of the most critical, because that's where all your hard work has gone. You can replace any other component, it doesn't matter. And if at the point that you want to recover those documents, you can't trust the companies that are doing it, it sort of leaves you in a bad position. So really, where we were talking about Nerds Backup, that's the key thing to take away from this, is always use backups, because for the time and cost investment, they're one of the best things you could do on a computer. It's like a second life.
Right. Yeah, isn't that amazing how we don't really treat the hard drive with that separate sort of care as to the rest of the components. Mm. Very good point, Chris. Anything else can be replaced, but when you replace the hard drive, be careful. And it's for this reason that the security conscious companies, everybody from the NSA to private companies, actually have a specific written policy and a destruction process for hard drives. And it's going to be something that probably even down to your personal use is going to become more and more important. I know what I've done is I have a secret place in my house where old hard drives go, because I'm not going to recycle them. I'm not going to throw them out. I just got to find my brother to come over with a drill and drill holes in them. So don't tell anybody that. Oops, wait, this is public.
The place where hard drives go to die.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah, no, this is important. Very important. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. And another article I think you may have also submitted from Security Strategy, web security warnings being ignored even by the most tech savvy. No, this came from, this sounds like a Dennis submission.
Yeah. And it's actually, I was a little surprised because it, they're basically talking about certificate warnings.
Yeah.
And I think that the issue is that people are more tech savvy, encounter more and use more certificates.
Yeah.
And we use a lot of self-signed certificates. And so we kind of get used to that notion of seeing that warning about a self-signed certificate. And apparently some people click through those pretty freely. So I just put it up there because it's a good idea to warn people that when you see that certificate warning, make sure you know what the certificate is before you go ahead and accept it. Even the self-signed certificates, it's a good idea to check them, make sure it's what you think it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I'm guilty of this. That's the first thing I wanted to say, because I use self-signed SSL certificates all the time for my own internal stuff. So anything I develop, I try to always avoid HTTP and I always do HTTPS. And nowadays, the tools to create self-signed certificates on Windows IIS or on Apache are so easy to use that I just do it by default. But it is something that then creates a habit of just accepting. So you have to, if you tend to be in the habit of doing the self-signed certificates and just accepting or adding those Firefox exceptions, just be cautious, be mindful that if all of a sudden you go to PayPal or your bank site or, our site, iamenter.com, don't.
Yeah.
Don't, because we have real certificates on our own stuff that we use as a group. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and even your own self-signed certificates, once you've added them to your repository, you shouldn't have to do it a second time. So
that's right.
It's just, always be cautious when that warning pops up and make sure that you know what it is you're accepting.
Thank you. So when you think of Dennis Hausneck, just think, pause, assess security before you proceed. That's how I associate your name. That's the name picture you have with me, Dennis, so that's a good one. That's a good one. You always remind me of this. And this one I think you submitted as well. Microsoft rushes a patch, big deal fix in the programming flaw. Developers who use the buggy code library must redo software, update customers. I have a feeling this is a much bigger story than we can possibly cover today, potentially.
Well, it is. And I did confirm last night, because I've been trying to find out whether the patch that was pushed out this week, the out-of-cycle patch that Microsoft pushed out, presumably corrects the problem of being able to bypass kill bits. Right. Since I sent out a distro a day or two ago and also put something in the security corner,
right,
that you know, Microsoft has issued, I think, 175 kill bits fixes in the last couple of years. And there were some security researchers this week who presented a black hat who had found a way to bypass the kill bits. Kill bits are basically just registry entries that prevent Internet Explorer or other Microsoft programs from invoking ActiveX controls. And in fact, Adobe fix that is in the next article is related to the same thing. So, you know, the bottom line here is we don't need to belabor this too much. It's just a matter of making sure that you're doing your patches. And this week there were a couple of really important patches. This one from Microsoft, which was pushed down. It did not require a restart, so most people probably already have it. But we want to check on that. And also, I believe today Adobe was supposed to push down a patch to fix this the vulnerability in Flash, which I believe affected over 90% of Windows users. So that's another really important one.
Definitely.
It's kind of strange. You know, Steve Gibson brought out a great point about the kill bits, is that it's a completely flawed way of thinking. It's like having a firewall and going, okay, well, let's leave every port open, and then you go ahead and close the ones that you want closed. Well, no, that's not the way a firewall works, is that you open the ports when you need them, if you need them. And that's the way that, you know, instead of, I think Steve said something about, instead of having kill bits, you should have like a live bit, you know?
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, if you need that ActiveX and, you know, such and such a program requires it, then you open it. But just to leave everything wide open is such a flawed way of thinking.
Very much analogous to the blacklist, whitelist kind of approach. You know, exactly. You know, that's, instead of whitelisting ActiveX controls, Microsoft comes around every month and blacklists the ones that have been shown to be vulnerable or malicious.
Right. It's like that with antivirus too, right? Antivirus is the same thing. It's the same approach. We got to start thinking things the other way around. I mean, aren't we living this over and over? I mean, I remember when I got involved with Linux, Red Hat version 4, I think is when I started, 4, 5, 6, somewhere around there. And I remember back then there was always a discussion between friends I had between the BSD security approach versus Linux. And BSD was back then proactively secure out of the box, had things firewalled, nothing starting up by default, whereas back in the Red Hat, even Red Hat version 6, you would install a default and all these services would be starting up by default. Send mail was an open relay by default. All of these things. Back then we had this discussion on the OS level. Now it's obvious. Now I don't think you can install any modern day operating system without the firewall being turned on by default, right? It's just there. Except Mac OS. I'm not sure Mac OS has that on by default. Doesn't really matter because it hasn't been attacked enough. I'm not saying it's not vulnerable. It just hasn't been attacked enough to be too concerning, although I think that's going to change very quickly. Hey, Paul, glad you could join us on the chat for a bit. Thanks for the participation. And also, Tim, I'm seeing your whitelist link there, so we're going to have to go back to that iBlacklist because he says that was actually a whitelist link that he sent, so we'll have to look at that further. We just won't spend any more time on that story right now because it'll develop throughout the day, I'm sure, as the conference goes on.
Just something quickly on that one. Yeah. I just did some more research. There actually is a BlackBerry software called iBerry Black and Whitelist, and you have the ability to do both. There's a 15-day demo on it, so you can whitelist something or blacklist something. That looks interesting.
Okay, iBerry Black and Whitelist. So let's take a look at the screenshots here real quick, since this is, for the most part, a screencast. There we go. So black and whitelist, you can go to, looks like you can add rules, you can hide your caller ID when you call a certain person. Oh, that looks nice. I've always wanted that. Like on the iPhone, what I hate, as I use the iPhone for inbound calling, but not for outbound, or when I do, I block the caller ID. But what I'd like to do is have the caller ID blocked only with unknowns, but this is not an iPhone app. This looks really interesting. Thanks for this, Andy. So we got it covered here and recorded on my screen. You guys in the GoToMeeting, you guys see this as well. But sorry, you guys watching real time, you're not seeing that. I just did a search in iBerry black and white list. So thanks for that, Andy. Appreciate that.
No worries.
Okay, I think we had a couple other stories we wanted to cover off. We have only about 5 more minutes left, and some of them were security related. We covered off the first two security issues you brought up, Dennis, but then you also sent this one about the Comcast Trials Domain Helper Service, DNS Hijacker.
This is a quick one, and my only point here is you know, almost ISPs anymore are doing this, where if you mistype something into the end of the address bar,
right,
they're going to pop up something to supposedly help you find what you're looking for or find what they think you should be looking for. And my point is, if you're going to do that, use OpenDNS, support the OpenDNS service. That's how they monetize themselves. And if you're gonna have a service like that, have it be OpenDNS rather than your ISPs, because OpenDNS runs the best DNS servers, or some of the best DNS servers on the internet anyway. Just another reason to go to OpenDNS.
Yeah, and it's not just Dennis saying that. This is pretty much the Nerds on Site community as a whole that is agreeing that the OpenDNS way to do your recursive DNS queries is good for a lot of reasons. A, they work with stopbadware.org. B, you can create an account and totally customize how you want things to work. C, a lot of the criticism that they've gotten in the past, they've given you options to opt out of and work around. So just sign up, go into the dashboard, and take a look at the things you can do. It also ends up being an excellent tool for blocking unwanted content in your home or business network. So yes, I agree with that. Thanks for that article. And I believe that even if you are with Comcast, you can, on your own router, change your DNS server, right?
I don't know of anything that stops you from changing your DNS settings on both the router and on each machine.
But there are a bunch of ISP-provided routers. I'd like you to report on this with the BT-provided ones, Chris, in the UK. Because I know some of the Comcast ones I've worked with Nerds, I've noticed that when you go in and try to modify the DNS servers, that all you can do is add OpenDNS. But it's got like a grayed out, the interface is such that the ISP DHCP provided DNS servers cannot be removed. So they become primary.
So they became primary.
That's right. And only if they fail to provide a response does it then use OpenDNS. But they don't fail because they have these DNS hijacker or helper services themselves, right? So it's just be careful what kind of a router you use with a with any ISP. If it's provided by them, that might be in there on purpose, and they may have had a good reason for it. But this is a byproduct that you don't want to put up with. That's for sure.
Right, or set it on each individual machine, and that just bypasses it completely anyway.
Yeah, right. Or if you have an internal Linux or Mac or Windows server, you can just run DNS there and have its authoritative or its recursive settings set to OpenDNS, and then it bypasses what the router does anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and then I think we have time for maybe two more. Which ones do we want to grab? Let's grab this one. This is a real story. Also, you submitted, I think, Dennis, the /dot 40 million identities up for sale on the web.
This one was actually one of mine from last
Chris,
week.
Thank you.
Yeah, I get the odd security one.
Just because you're over there on that island doesn't mean you're not security conscious, I know.
But yeah, it's pretty mad. 40 million records, retired senior metropolitan police officer.
So yours isn't in there, Chris?
In the fraud squad. What's that?
Yours is not one of those 40 million?
Well, I don't know. He's actually, he said... Is
4 million
Britons. He plans to offset the costs of building this by charging members for the access to it to see if their data's in there.
Wow.
I haven't paid yet, but I'd like to know.
Wow. Yeah, it does say it includes members of the public.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Holder has invested £160,000 so far. Plans to offset the cost by charging members of the public for access to his database to check whether the data security has been breached. Wow. Okay. let's move on to a few exciting stories to end this with, okay? We don't like this Nerdcast to be negative in nature. You know, while we got to be security conscious, we're very consciously now starting and ending this Nerdcast on a positive note so that we wrap the the bad stuff that's happening out there around some of the good stuff. How's that sound, guys?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Chris, you submitted this one. The Watch It 2 combines video chat with watching.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a good idea. I'm not sure whether it will take off for a little while or not, but I mean, the more interaction you can have with these sort of things is probably good. I'm thinking of it for things like courses or, you know, where you need to discuss and you want to see people's reactions and that. It could be good. So I've not tried it yet. I guess we'll see.
I'm very excited about this, and I know Charlie will be very excited about this. We all know that the biggest roadblock to multi-user video is bandwidth availability, right? The reason we're able to do live broadcasting of this particular Nerdcast over nerdsonsite.tv in really high quality is because we have a really high quality outbound internet connection here at this location. If I did this from anywhere else, that part wouldn't work so well. And also, it's the reason why high definition video conferencing is so prohibitive. We resell life-size gear, lifesize.com. You can get that through Nerds On Site in Canada only so far. But one of the main requirements, the first time we do a demo is, what is your internet connection like? Do you have at least a meg of guaranteed upload capacity for one, you know, just for your outbound high def video? But I'm now seeing fiber optic service in some places in the US being launched 20 meg down and 15 meg up. That's the first time that I've seen that kind of upload capacity. Once we've, I mean, here on this connection that Earth and I are on, we have a 10 meg down, 10 meg up with guaranteed bandwidth. So we have 10 meg guaranteed. It's not shared bandwidth like most ISPs. But I mean, it's costing us, what, $500 a month, Arthur?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not cheap to have that kind of guaranteed bandwidth availability. And then we're capped to, what, 40 gigs of transfer per month. So primarily we're using it for this kind of nerdsonsite.tv live broadcasting. But once that becomes affordable, then this kind of thing could be really cool. Because can you just imagine if you're a business traveler and you're away from family and you just want to, you know, have your evening where you commune with your family, or you want to have long-distance relationships with the business relationships. Like, we have developers that work all day together and they're on chat. Can you imagine how much more powerful it would be if they could just be looking over the camera and talk to their buddy on another continent? You know, like, I'm just yesterday, Arthur showed me how much bandwidth I had consumed this month. And I think it was because I've been sitting in this spot so much. And every time I've been online, I've been focusing on doing Skype video with everybody. And he says, it's Skype. It's like, what? But yeah, it's been Skype video that I've been consuming all month this week. Jeez. Okay, I think that means it's one more good story we'll end it on. Talk to us about this one, Chris. Artificial brain only 10 years away.
Yeah, you got love stories like this. I mean, 10 years is a little while still, but that's quite impressive if they think they can manage to build an artificial brain.
Yeah.
So it's called the Blue Brain Project, and they said they've already simulated elements of a rat brain.
Wow.
So, yeah, wow. Definitely big things.
And on the image that we're showing on the screen here, Professor Markram said he could send a hologram to talk at TED. That's the TED conference. In 10 years. Wow. That's the kind of thing that Charlie, our CEO, always talks about, is holographic. Once we have holographic capacity, it will really change the ability for us to learn from the masters in a more effective. Because right now, let's face it, what's one of our biggest reasons for not progressing further faster is because our learning, or access to learning from the ones who've been there, is either too expensive, not accessible. I'm thinking about third world nations. Folks in India are amazing at learning, and they're learning from text-based documents. They're learning from open source software, and they're doing an incredible job of it. But can you imagine how much faster they could learn if they had the masters that have been there? You know, if you could have someone like Charlie on camera more often, we would end up as a group learning more quickly, right? So this will make that possible. So thanks for sharing that. Looks like about half the stories that we had open here we didn't get to. So those of you who submitted, we didn't get to it. Sorry, we just this is the problem we wanted to have, was to have more stories than we could possibly cover, which would basically force us to prioritize and cover the best ones. So thanks everybody for joining us today for Nerdcast again. Please don't forget, you can send us feedback through Twitter, through nerdcast.nerdsonsite.com email address, and we'll make sure that gets covered here, or at least consider it for a story that we'll publish. And next week we have next week won't be live at the same time, because Arthur and I are at a session in Windsor and have a conflict there, but we'll make sure that we have coverage either later on that day or sometime on Friday instead with the live function. And also check out nerdsonsite.tv for stories and for live coverage of Nerdfest this year. Don't forget, that's happening starting late this afternoon and going through until Sunday morning closing ceremonies. So lots of U of N stuff happening there. So if you're a nerd, you're welcome to those. If you're a wannabe nerd, well, some of these things you have to become a nerd for first, and then you'll have further access and insight to our University of Nerdology stuff. So thanks, guys, for joining me today. Say goodbye.
Thanks so much. Bye, awesome.
Yeah. Hey, take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd. We know the truth is out there, but we'd have to leave our room. We are the nerds in your neighborhood. Polyester's a fashion statement. But there's more room on the beach for you, 'cause we're locked in our basement. It's great to be a nerd, it's great to be a nerd. We like to wear colors that do not appear in nature. It's great to be a poorly dressed, fashion last, or tricking, we'll play in 90 pounds, one without pasty skin, underfed genius, yes, it's great.